All right, here we go. Another Friday. Today's Monday when we're recording, but that doesn't matter. I'm really excited. Today's a really big day for me. For those of you, we'll make it short and sweet, but for those of you who have been listening for 3+ years, going on 4 in May, you know that when I started doing this during COVID, I just sent a bunch of cold DMs to people hoping that they would answer. Many didn't. Some did, and we're still here. And but I sent out, and there's only one person who knows who the first ever DM I sent was besides myself, and that is my friend Drew. Shout out, Drew. And I sent the first ever DM to this guy right here, and I probably sent 20 more. Mitch Rozelle. Mitch, I'm such a big fan of you. I think that you're phenomenal. You are personally one of my favorite songwriters of all time. I'm just a huge fan. So thank you for weathering my Instagram DMs and my text messages to your fan accounts and my emails. I appreciate it. I'm happy to have you here and talk to you and get to know you a little bit. So thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Dude, thank you, man. That's a huge, huge compliment, huge honor. And I don't take that lightly. So thank you. You made my day for sure.
Of course. I told you this in the before we recorded. I was a little embarrassed, but we're gonna move on and it's gonna be we're gonna have a good time, right?
You shouldn't be. So, no, it's awesome.
So I gotta tell you, so before we dive into you, so I've said this story a handful of times over the last few years. And I'm gonna tell you because it's kind of about you. So in 2017, I would say. I've been listening to country music since I was 15, 16-ish, right? I'm 25. I'm from Northern Jersey. It wasn't a common thing. It wasn't something that was like deemed the cool thing. And then eventually I said, screw it. I liked it. I grew up on classic rock. I said, these stories mean something to me. So I started listening, right? But that was very base level. I was listening to artists that I enjoyed. I wasn't really paying attention to much deeper than that. So fast forward 2017, I'm a sophomore or freshman in college, whatever it is. And my aunt's like, we're going to see Garth Brooks in the Prudential Center in New Jersey. I'm like, okay, cool. She's like, do you want to come? We have 2 extra tickets. I said, yeah, for sure. I want to come. And I was like, of course I want to go see Garth Brooks. Right. So, so we go and we were very fortunate to hang out with Garth and Trisha for a while before the show. And nice. So we're there and we're sitting in this room and we're talking to Garth and that's a whole other conversation. Cause that conversation was pretty funny and there were some jokes that came out of it, but we're sitting there and we're waiting to go into the room. And I'm like, man, who is that singing? I was like, who is, like, I hear this voice and I don't know who this guy, like, who is that? So I asked Garth, I was like, who's this? He goes, oh, Mitch Rozelle. And he starts talking about you, right? And I'm like, man, he sounds great. So then once we were done, I like rushed out so that I could, I think I caught the last song. I think I literally caught the last song. And I was like, oh man. And it changed my entire perspective on music for the rest of my life. Because at that moment, I realized that songwriters obviously drove the songs and that someone like Garth, who is a songwriter artist, right? Like you are, like he is a songwriter day to day. And that's why he writes such, or that's why he makes such great music because he's also a songwriter brain. But I realized that I was incredibly passionate about songwriting without having a lick of songwriting ability. I don't have musical talent. And a lot of that is because you got up there with your guitar and basically put your heart on your sleeve. And I loved every single part of that. So I thank you for changing my entire life and the entire trajectory of the rest of my life. And I appreciate it. So man, I hope I get to see you live again sometime. So that's it.
That's, this business is just that. It's a business and it's a pretty soul sucking, you know, especially when you're in it for a long time, it starts to, you know, it's hard not to get jaded. It's hard not to like just resent it because it's so, fickle and political and, it's just not a great business in a lot of ways. But you know, the thing that keeps me coming back and I've kind of realigned myself over the last year because I got so deep in that part of it. And yeah. I forgot why I started doing it in the first place. And I think God has blessed me with a lot of these kind of stories lately where that's the reason I started doing this, you know, is things like that where you get to truly be a part of somebody's life in a meaningful way. And life is too short to worry about that other crap. You know what I mean? This is the stuff that matters. And so you don't know, you know, what that means to me. I appreciate you saying that and sharing it. And I'm pretty honored I got to be a part of that.
I wish I was BSing. Like, part of me wishes I was like lying a little bit, but I'm not. Like, I really want to be, but I'm not. Like, it's just, you know, that show in particular was very, cause at that point, like I've only seen at that point, I think I was under 5 concerts in my entire life. I went to my first concert at like 17. Right. Okay. And or six, whatever it was, 17 years old, 16 years old. And then I saw like a couple, and then I saw Garth. And then there's like some other moments that are pretty cool there. Like I'm friendly with Kimberly Kelly, who cut Karen Rochelle's Summers Like That song, which was like a cool little weird little circle thing. Cause I heard that song at that show for the first time. So yeah. like that's just a very influential music memory in my mind. So I figured I'd share.
It's amazing, man. Thank you.
It's cool. So, but nonetheless, this is not about me. I don't want to talk about me. I want to talk about you. So, so for those of you for the people who are listening who don't know you, just give them a quick little backstory about yourself and why you find yourself here doing music today.
Yeah, my musical journey started kind of late. I started playing guitar the summer before I left for school for college. I was kind of inspired by my dad. Not kind of, it was inspired by my dad. He wanted me to play as a kid, and I was a sports kid, man. I was really ADHD and just couldn't sit still. And so guitar wasn't exactly something that made a lot of sense. But it's the only thing I ever remember him really, not like pushing too much, but like really pushing, you know, like he wanted me to do. My dad was really just let me do what I wanted to do in terms of like my passions and stuff. But that was one he just really wished I would play. And so I lost him when I was 10 in an accident. And I just kind of vowed, it was either at the funeral or right after, I just kind of like in my mind, I vowed like, I'm going to learn to play guitar one day for him. And as a kid, you don't realize like time, you know, is precious. Like, you know, who knew that I'd even make it to 17, but in my mind, I thought, I'll know the time, you know? Yeah. And so I woke up one day that summer before college and just thought, man, today feels like the right day. And so I called a buddy that plays, he played like hard electric rock stuff. Yeah. It wasn't even close to what I wanted to do, but I just said, hey man, can you help me pick out a guitar? Cause I didn't know anything.
Yeah.
So we went to this local music store. I bought a $250 Washburn guitar. And I just started playing. I took maybe 2 or 3 lessons, kind of learned a few chords, you know. And then from there, I just kind of did it on my own and figured it out and went to school. And I didn't know anybody where I was going. I didn't know a single person, not one person on the whole campus. Wow. So, I spent a lot of time in my room. I'm kind of an introvert anyways. And so just really fell in love with it. I was obsessed with it. And, you know, that was the first moment I wrote my first song, you know, a few months after that. And that was the first moment I thought, man, like, what if this was something I could do, you know? But I was always taught, you know, go to school, you know, be a doctor, be a lawyer. The thing that every parent, of course, you want your kids to do well. And so in my brain, my brain is very unique because I'm not really dominant one way or the other. I'm actually a pretty OCD, organized but also creative. It's kind of a weird
me too
conundrum. Yeah, so it's kind of hard to it was hard for me to wrap my head around something that crazy. Like, it was just like, what a I can't do that. That doesn't that's not even real, you know? How do you
it seems like such a stretch, right? It seems so
yeah fun. It's like something that it's for people that are, you know, that are like, you know, dreamers, like not me, you know. Yeah. Like, I can't do that. And so it would take a while and a lot of like just God placing people in my life to put that confidence in me that I could maybe do it before I actually made that move. But yeah, so then I moved to Nashville, I think 15 days after I graduated college. Wow. And I just started trying to figure it out. I mean, I knew I was probably one of the rare people that, you know, I've always been pretty self-aware. And I think a lot of people move to town and they think, man, I'm going to go in here. I'm good. I'm this, and I kind of just knew I wasn't. Like, I knew I had a lot of work to do, you know. I was like, I think I got some ability, but I was like, I got a lot of work to do, you know. Sure. And I wanted to do it. I didn't want to take shortcuts. I didn't want to go on the singing shows because I didn't think that I was a good enough singer. I just knew I needed to like polish everything, you know. Yeah. Like, I needed to get it all better. And so that's what I started doing. And I was blessed to have some opportunities come up at different times. And Yeah, it's been a long ride, but a good ride.
That's amazing. I love it. And I think it all goes back to hard work, right? Like I look at you and I don't look at the kid who blew up on TikTok, right? Like I look at the guy who's got like grit, someone who really works, right? And I think there's a lot of benefit to that. And there's been a lot of success with you because of that. Did you, so I didn't realize you started playing so late in life. Did you sing late in life? Like, did you know you could sing so late in life too, or no?
So when I was a kid, my dad had me sing in church maybe 2 or 3 times,
Okay.
and I could sing okay, but I didn't think that that was something I could do. It was more like my dad wanted me to do it, and people would come, "Oh, you did a good job." Of course you'd say that to a
Sure.
7-year-old, right?
Like I tell a kid to
So
sing, sorry.
yeah, so no, I didn't sing until my senior year of high school. I was in a Young Life skit, and in the skit we were on a line and we were singing This Little Light of Mine. It was a really neat skit, actually, really powerful, and I just happened to be at the end. I was playing the part of Jesus at the very end, and so that would leave me singing by myself. And
Right.
so in the skit, all of us are singing, and the devil starts the first person and starts putting all these lies in their head, and so suddenly their light goes out and they stop singing, and it goes all the way down the line. And when he gets to me, I start singing louder and louder, and then I go and light everybody's light.
Yeah.
And it's really powerful, but like
Yeah.
I'm sitting here in front of my peers and I'm a nervous freaking wreck.
Yeah.
Like I'm gonna be singing by myself and not get quieter, get louder as the skit goes on. And so after that skit, there was a girl named Christina that was a hell of a singer. And she came up to me and she goes, "You have a great voice, like great tone, and you sang great." And I was like, "No, I don't. Like, you're just being nice, whatever."
Yeah.
She goes, "No, I'm telling Miss Rayburn," and that was our music teacher. She said, "I'm telling Miss Rayburn, you need to sing in the Valentine's special, whatever month it was, right there at the end of the school
Yeah.
year." And I was like, "Ah, I don't know about that." And so, sure enough, man, Miss Rayburn, here she comes one day that next week, and she's like, "Hey, come here, come in my office. I need to talk to you." She's like, "I heard you can sing. What do you want to do for the Valentine?" I was like, "I really don't want to do this." She goes, "No. What do you want to do?" And I was like, I don't want to do anything."
Yeah.
And she's like, "You're doing it." And she just pushed me, man. She didn't give me a choice, and
Wow.
I'm glad she didn't. And so,
Thank God for Christina and Miss Rayburn, huh? I mean,
I
that's
know, yeah. So
crazy.
she pushed me in. But even moving to Nashville, man, I didn't want to be an artist.
Yeah.
I was never like the fame part of it is actually something I don't look at as a positive. Like,
Right.
I think a lot of people come to town, they want that, that's their motivator. But for me, it was the opposite. I wanted just to be able to go to the grocery store and, with my family, all the things. But I fell in love with performing, when I started doing it downtown and playing for tips, and just really fell in love with that connection with the audience. And so, yeah.
What I think is really cool is that, like, I've been following you for a long time, but I also, a few years ago, really dove into just the world and the industry in general, and you see so many people kind of pretending like they're someone they're not, right? Like that's a big thing that you see, and maybe it's a way for them to see growth, because if they pretend like they're bigger than they really are, people will start buying into it or whatever else. But what I think is really cool is that, like, you've always kind of stuck to your guns, and the person I followed years ago, see this little bubble, this has been happening on my computer. I don't know why. It's this new thing on this. I got a new Mac. If you're listening to this right now, basically, like, these little thumbs down bubbles. Like, if I move my hands, I talk with my hands, sometimes they just pop up. So they just, like, pop up, and you see them
That's
instantly.
funny.
It's insane. So if it happens, just let it happen. I don't know what's going
That's funny, man.
on.
That's
You can
funny.
laugh about it, but but anyway, so what I was saying is that the same person I followed in on social medias and started listening to his music in 2016 or whatever it is, when I was 18 years old, is the same person now in 2023. Like, there's and now maybe you've grown in followers and you get more streams now, and people are more of a fan now, but you're still like that same person. I think that's really hard to do, especially in today's social media. I think that that's really tough, because sometimes, and it's happened to me, where people, shoot up and get all these followers, and they become quote unquote famous, and then you get big leagued, right? It's like they're like, oh, well, I don't need this person, I don't need that person. But I think it's cool that you are still grounded, and you have that foundation of that same kid that moved to Nashville and said, oh, I don't want to be famous, I just love to play music and I love to write songs. It's important, right?
I appreciate you saying that. I had definitely been conscious of that over the years, and making sure that I remind myself, it's something funny. I don't know if I've ever actually told anybody this, but when I sign an email, sign anything, I always sign it with a lowercase m on when I type it. And it's a constant reminder that it's not about me and it's bigger than me.
Wow.
And that sounds really, really simple, but at the end of the day, it's like, what right do I have to act like I'm something special when I didn't like give myself this gift?
Yeah.
This is just that God blessed me with this, and it's no different than anybody else's gift. It's
Yeah.
or no better. It's just different. That's
Right.
it. And it's like at the end of the day, we're here to bless each other, in my opinion. And so, like, if I'm not doing that, whatever the situation, if I'm not trying to do that, then I'm missing
So
the
good.
mark. So it's like I just try to remind myself of that every day. And I'm not perfect at it. I have my moments, of course, like all of us, I guess. But it's definitely been something I've been conscious about over the years, just trying to make sure I always, no matter where you are, I treat people the same. Try to, and that's really important to me. So thank you for noticing.
I love that. I think that's so great. I really do. So move to Nashville, right? You start playing and you realize, okay, well, maybe the, and I've said this for years, but there's, you move there and it's always the realization of crap. Like there's millions of people that are better than me, right, in this town. But like that's always room to grow. I think that's great as for a young kid, right? And I think that's it's a really great way to, hone in on your chops and, bust your chops and get there where you're trying to go. But so for you, like how many years did you work till you got that quote unquote break, right? Like I've seen the Eric Church smoke a little smoke video on YouTube, right? Like I think everyone's, I don't know if everyone's seen that video, but I've seen it a million times. I love it. I think it's great. Like a very young, not bearded Mitch Rozelle is playing
That's right.
with some shaggy hair, you know what I mean? No hat.
Yeah.
And so like that's great too. But like at what point did you, not even a big break, but like a break to the point where you're like, okay, well, other people are noticing that I'm good. And it's not just me, or it's not just my friends back home or my family, you know what I mean? Or Miss Rayburn. Like it's not just like these people, like other people recognize that like I got something and I just gotta keep working to get there. What did you ever have that moment where you said, okay, like that was my first like big, okay, I can do this.
Man, there's been a lot of those, honestly, because I think that if you ask anybody who's had like a journey in this town, like a real journey, and for me, you mentioned something earlier that kind of touched on this in terms of like same guy 2016, same guy now. For me, it was always about the long haul. And it's one reason social media, like I think I don't struggle on social media when it comes to like being authentic or talking to people. I just be myself. It's easy. What I struggle with is trying to come up with this content that is sensationalized, because that's all it's become now. Like it's even Facebook and Instagram are changing their algorithms to where it's not about our followers anymore or the people that have bought in. It's about discovery. So it's like everything you're trying to create is supposed to be this viral content. That's not conducive to creativity or enlightenment in art. That's all it's doing is sending us into the dark ages in art, in my opinion. And we've already been there, in my humble opinion. There's some bright spots here and there, but it's been the dark ages for a while in art. And so I think it's going to make it worse. And it's really unfortunate. But so there's been a few, and it's like I think if you're taking that longer route and you're taking that like I want to do this the right way and like really build something real on a firm foundation, not try to jump to the top, I think you have to have a lot of those because it is so hard, and it is so just confidence beating. Like it just beats you up a lot. There's a lot of very humbling moments if you're doing it that way and you're trying to make it the right way, I think. And so I think you have to have like those little milestones. And so for me, the first one was a guy named Mark Gray. Before I ever moved to Nashville, he was a hit songwriter that had a stroke, hit artist, just amazingly talented dude. He moved to Chattanooga, just so happened to move to the area I was in. He had a stroke, and he was coming there to kind of rest and recover. And I got introduced to him, and he spent like over a year, almost every day, I would go and play some new songs. I would write a song every day, at least one. And I would play these songs, and he would tell me, hey, you need more air here. This part doesn't quite make sense yet. Hey, this chord shape, whatever. And that really put a lot of confidence. Well, then I moved here. Then John Driscoll Hopkins reached out to me randomly about an original song I wrote. And next thing I know, I'm going to a show and I'm backstage with the Zac Brown Band. And then I end up on the bus with Zac. and we're sitting across from each other. We played original songs for like 2.5 hours on his bus, back and forth. And then the next thing, you know, the Eric Church thing comes, and then, you know, and then I kind of on a drought for a few years. I'd been in town for over 5 years and had nothing really to show for it in terms of like success, you know. And then I sent an email to Garth Brooks thinking, oh, cool, I got to send an email to Garth Brooks. This is amazing. You know, that's good enough for me. And then he emails me back, you know, and then that starts a crazy, crazy journey of like getting cuts and touring with him. And, you know, and then last year, like I felt like I was really hitting the wall a little bit in my mind and was getting down about everything. And then he texts me out of nowhere in California and says, hey, you want to come play some music? And I go out and open on the stadium shows. It's like God's always, when I'm holding on that last piece of the rope, you know, God has always brought some kind of moment, like you mentioned, to kind of get my hands back on the grip. You know what I mean? To kind of remind me, you're going the right way. Just trust me. It's going to take some time. You know, look at all the disciples, all the people in the Bible that did something amazing. They all were on a journey that took longer than they expected, you know, and that's the way I look at it. So it's a great question. I think there's been a lot of those for sure.
It's always a marathon, not a sprint, right? Like I think that's really important. And, you know, at a much smaller scale, you know, just in my life and, you know, what I want to do with my life, it's always a marathon, right? Like, you know, people like can look and say from an outside perspective, like, you know, like Mitch, I'm not gonna lie. Like I have a full-time job, right? Like I have a full-time job and I do this as well. And I work my butt off to do both at the same time. And, you know, if you're my boss listening right now, like it's a fact that I don't love my full-time job. Like I want a particular, I have a career goal in mind that I will obtain. But I think that it's all about the people we meet along the way. It's all about not rushing or looking at someone else and saying, why are they doing this? And I'm not doing this. It's all about staying true to yourself, being who you are, being that person that you know, and not trying to be someone you're not, and just working hard and keep your nose down and stay grounded. And that's it. Right. Like, and those will all work. And maybe like you said, you know, there was a point where you drowned and you were like, oh, like, what am I doing? Right. But then something happens and then something's meant to happen. And that's, I think those are really important moments. And, so I think it's really cool as someone who is as successful as you to have those moments. And for the 18-year-old kid that's listening right now saying like, oh, like I'm having a moment where I don't know where I'm going to go with my life, to look at you and say like, okay, well you've done it. Plus you've had hard times doing it. It's encouraging, right? Like I think that it's really important. And social media does not lend that to a lot of people because of the fact that it's so like, you're right. Like everything's virality, right? Like you see the next big thing or someone like having a really big moment and you're like, geez, am I not doing something right? So, but I think it's cool that you had those moments where you weren't sure, but everything's a stepping stone along the way. And I think that's awesome. So yeah.
Cool. Yeah. I think it gives you two things. One, when you take that route, all the things you're able to learn through those hard times, the mistakes, the grit that you develop, the tenacity, all those things, when you get there, it helps you maintain it.
Right.
And then the biggest thing to me is when you get there, it makes you appreciate it.
Yeah.
And I think that is something that can be detrimental to someone who gets it too quickly. We've all seen that because you do get the big time and, you know, people who unfortunately kind of, they change and they drink their own Kool-Aid a little too much. You know what I mean? So.
I agree. I'm with you. I it's important. And, again, timing is everything. Taking a step back and looking out and zooming out is very important. And so that's how I see it. But I'm with you. I'm totally with you. Hey, you made your Grand Ole Opry debut this year. That's pretty wild, right?
Yeah. It was actually.
Was it 2022?
Yeah, it was actually. Funny enough, it was 1 year yesterday. Yep.
1 year yesterday. That's pretty wild.
It was the end of 2022. Yeah.
Wow. How did that feel for you?
Oh my gosh! Yeah, it was. It was insane in and of itself. You know, you're that's like one of the top things you dream of if you feel like you've had some success in this town, and then to have Garth surprise me and introduce me, and then apparently I didn't realize this, but that was the first time he's ever introduced somebody.
I didn't know that either. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, he's inducted people.
Yeah,
but that's the first time he's ever come to introduce somebody, and that, you know, there's been many times like that with him where I just go, why do I get to people this blessed. You know, I don't get it, but it just speaks to who he is to come down during Christmas time and to the freaking opera. Like, if you know anything about Nashville around Christmas time, that's that one area you don't want to be driving in.
No.
Is the Briley Parkway area around the Opryland Hotel and all that. It's a nightmare. And he came down and weathered that. And I just, yeah, he's the best, man.
It's amazing. It's so funny because I didn't understand that whole beast of Opryland at Christmas time, but I was in town 2 weeks ago and I get it. Believe
Yeah.
me. Coming from a guy who understands New York traffic like nobody's business, I get it. I'm good. Trust me.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's something else. It's a beast, but that's
Absolutely.
really cool. And you know, I guess it just goes to show you, you know, character is everything. And you ask yourself why, and he probably says why not.
Yeah.
And I think that's awesome. That's really cool. We're and I've asked this to a bunch of people who have made their debuts, but you know how they say like you don't actually, once you step out there, you're not nervous anymore. Like, was that a thing for you, or were you shaking?
No, I was still nervous. You know, I think I wasn't for long, and that's like most shows that are meaningful, like they're all me, but you know what I mean, like a big stadium show, like the ones that are really, 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 you know,
sentimental,
much more intense, you know,
yeah.
Like going down to play at the, you know, the listening room, whatever, like I'm comfortable because I've done it so much,
right?
But anytime you're doing something like that, where it's a milestone moment or whatever, you're always nervous. But I think the thing that brings you back is the people, you know. And it was amazing how many people came in from all over the country to watch me debut.
How cool.
Like it was mind-boggling to me.
Yeah.
Like I got so many messages. Hey, I'm coming in from Louisiana. Hey, I'm coming from California. Hey, I'll be there from Texas. Hey, I'm coming in from Wyoming. Hey, I'm coming. It was like literally hundreds of people
insane
coming in from all, and I'm going, how is that possible? Like, why are y'all coming to see me? Like, I don't, it's still hard for me to wrap my head around. So I think having them, you know, you could feel the energy, and then they were already going, whoa, you know, and just excited for them. And then you feel like you're with your friends in the living room, you know, and you just play music for them, you know?
That's
so I settled in, but I was definitely nervous there at the beginning.
Dude, that's so awesome. I love it. I have not seen a show at the Opry yet, which is, a shame, and also probably loses all my music cred. But I was supposed to
No,
do it
you're
a couple
good.
Weeks ago, but I really want to go. It's one of those places I've been, I just haven't seen a show. And you know, for me as a country music fan, but also as a little bit of a like historian, you know, like I love to backtrack and look at the history of the genre and you know who's crossed that stage and all these things, right? It's insane that I haven't gone. I think it's just based on timing, but I hope I get to go and to experience that, because I think it's like no other experience across any other venue or genre, whatever you want to say. Like, there's nothing else like it. So,
Well, I'll tell you what, if I get to play again, which I'm hoping I do, they said that, you know, they would love to have me back. So we're gonna hopefully work on that. You just let me know if you want to come, and you got a ticket and a backstage pass.
Well,
for
I
me.
appreciate
So
that would be awesome. I would love that.
Absolutely. Yep.
That would be even cooler to make my first Opry experience one with you. I think that's pretty
Yeah,
awesome.
yeah.
But
Let's do it.
I love that. I would totally love to do that. I let's make it happen. That'd be great. That'd be really
Okay.
nice. I would love
All
it.
Right, I'll keep you posted.
Cool. Fantastic. And now I gotta ask. So there's been a couple of questions that I've you know, asked some friends. But what do you think I should ask Mitch? What are your thoughts here? Right? Like, I like to keep it very conversational. So I don't have a lot of questions in terms of like formal questions, but I must ask, you obviously spend a lot of time with Garth, and you have a lot of you know, songs written that are for Garth and that he's recorded. Is Trisha as good as a cook as she makes it seem? Because I think she probably is, but I kind of want to know.
Yeah, absolutely. No,
Yeah.
it's pretty epic. Yeah.
Right. It's
I
amazing.
remember, like, I can't eat a lot of stuff anymore. Like, I have these like food sensitivities and stuff, but every now and then I'll just cheat. And like, I remember one of the things that like one of my most defining moments of my life, being a little bit funny there, but seriously, it was that good.
Sure.
We were at the Forum, in LA. We were playing the Forum, and her carrot cake recipe, like,
wow.
They made her carrot cake recipe and
Yeah.
put it out, dude. And like, I love good carrot cake. This carrot cake almost put me in a coma. Like, it was so freaking good, man. Like, But yeah, everything I've ever had of hers, I'm like, yeah, that's
That's amazing.
unbelievable.
That's
Yeah,
so
she's
amazing.
she knows what she's doing for sure.
That's awesome. As a as a diabetic, I'd imagine I'd have to be a little careful with her cooking, but I'd also
Yeah.
that's pretty good. So
Yeah.
that's so awesome. I because I you know because I watch her stuff, right? And I've actually years ago I had Allie on, and I asked her the same question. I was like, "Is Trisha really that great of a cook?" And she was like, "Yeah, of course." Like
Yeah.
you know, she and I think that's so great because,
Yeah.
like, I love some good. I'm not really a foodie, but I love to eat. Obviously, it's probably
Yeah. Who doesn't, right?
it's really good, right? But that's pretty cool. I love that she's as good as she makes it seem. I think
Oh, yeah.
that's amazing. That's so great. I love it. We've talked about some of your experiences and some of the things that you've gone through along the way to get to where you are, and we're gonna dive into your original music in a second, and some of the stuff that you've recorded yourself. These cuts from Garth, right? Like obviously, your first one, Whiskey to Wine, right? Was that the first? No, was that the first one?
Ask Me How I Know was the first one.
Ask Me How I
Yep.
Know was the first one. Okay. Was that on the same album? It was on the same album, right? Making that up.
Whiskey to Wine. Yeah. I think it was on.
I
Yeah, it
think
was
it
on.
was.
I didn't write Whiskey to Wine, though. That was
Right, that's
Brian
right.
Kennedy and yeah, and Garth and I feel like one more person,
One
maybe.
person.
Yeah.
So you get your first cut by Garth, right? Like that's gotta be the most insane thing. And I love his version of that song. It's the first version I ever listened to, but I also love your version of that song.
Thanks, man.
you got a cut like that. And not a lot of people always talk about their cuts, right? And like I got this cut, I got that cut, but not a lot of people could say they got a Garth Brooks cut, right? So like that's got to be something where another one of those pinch me moments where you say like, why me, right? But that's got to be insane, especially hearing it for the first time. It's got to be an insane experience.
Yeah, no, it was I mean the word surreal, I've used the word surreal over the last few years more than I
Sure.
can count. Because that's really the only word that comes close to anything involving him. Because I mean he's my favorite artist and you just like I never like I had big dreams for myself, I thought, when I moved to town, but I just that wasn't even on my radar. Like
Yeah.
how do you get a like Garth Brooks to even know who you are? You know what I mean?
Sure.
Nonetheless, become buddies with him and write a few songs that he decides to cut and be a part of a few songs, with him and Brian Kennedy and him and John Martin. But yeah, the Ask Me How I Know, I wrote just by myself, which was even more special because it's not a common thing anymore. And it kind of it really was a great summary and like testament to what I had gone through
Yeah.
because it's just like God like winking at you, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like all those years I struggled and didn't have a pub deal, didn't have many people want to write with me, like could barely get in the room with people. And then having to write by myself because that's all I could do,
Sure.
and then to get a cut by myself, it was like God going, "See, I told you, just keep
Yeah.
going." You know what I mean? Like, and so it was just really unbelievable. And no matter what I ever do as an artist, that's where my sights have been the last few years, trying to get that part of my career, to a level that whatever level I'm supposed to be at. But no matter what I ever do there, or as a songwriter, like it will never top that. It just won't ever. It's just too special, and all the things I got to experience through that, and it's just yeah, it's words fall short of it, and
Yeah.
that's rare for me.
Is there a and even after just talking to you for the last 20 minutes, 25 minutes or so, but is there I can tell you're a very humble guy, and that's incredible. So I will ask you this. Is there a moment where you get a cut like that, right, by yourself after working for so long, like you said, not being able to get in rooms and things of those natures? Like, is there a moment where you had kind of vulnerable, like you all thought I couldn't do it, but I did it, so look at me, right? Like maybe not like a ha, I did it, but there's probably a little bit of you that says you doubted me and I proved you wrong.
Oh yeah, man. I mean, absolutely. I'd be lying if I said that wasn't.
Yeah.
Like, I've always been motivated by people telling me I can't do something.
Sure.
I'm competitive, and I like to win. Like, I hate losing, and I hate like this is the thing about this business. I think that's been so hard for me is like, it's not about how good you are, and I'm not saying I'm incredible, but I've watched a lot of things have success and go to radio that were not
Right.
very good.
For sure.
And it's like it's just not about how good you are.
Yeah.
And anyone who says that, oh yeah, you're just mad because you haven't done this or whatever, like, you can say whatever you want. I've watched it happen. Like, I've watched other people, forget me, let's take me out of it. I've watched a lot of people in this town that are 10 times as talented as half the people on the radio. And because they're not an extroverted social media, you know, constantly posting, constantly doing this, constantly doing that, they never get heard.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate, you know, because we're missing out on so much good music, because there's a lot of people that aren't, you know, naturally able to do those things and get out there and put videos together that are sensationalized and viral. You know, it's like, so yeah, it's interesting for sure.
It is. And you know what, like, I wouldn't name them, but I can name you 10 people that are better than 10 others that have less success because they're not, you know, these big personalities that are, you know, making viral TikTok videos and whatever the hell they're making, right? Real videos or whatever. Right. And it's something that you went back that you mentioned before, which I just want to touch on really quick, cause I find it really interesting. You can have, well, look at me, right? Cause I'm obviously at a smaller scale, so I guess this makes more sense, but you look at my Instagram page that has, I don't know, 1500 followers, whatever it is. It's a very small amount, but people are let's say someone's got that amount. People are making content to not reach 1500 people. They're making content to reach 10,000 people. And those 1500 people may not be anyone they follow or that see that video, right? Like, those 10,000 people, that 1500 might not be in that. So you're right. Like, there is a side to it where some people don't make that content and they just play really great music, but you don't know who they are because people don't want to, you know, dig. And that's a shame. That's a real shame. So, I'm with you. I think that that's really, really important, especially in today's industry. And which is the thing is like, I do think that there's people out there like you and I that care about those people, right? Like, I think that there are people that share that music and get them the recognition they deserve. But then there's obviously other people who, you know, do the thing, and that's why they become so big and get the record deals and whatever, right? Like, you know, you got your first record deal within this last year, right? So, like, that's huge, but it's crazy that it hasn't happened before. So,
yeah, and I think, you know, I look at the people, like the listeners. I really don't blame them at all, because they don't, you know, they don't know, like, they don't know what they're supposed to be or what they're missing or whatever. I just think it's the machine, you know, and it's like, it's not conducive to the people who, again, a lot of the people who are the most talented historically are very introverted people, you know? And so you look at some of the most brilliant composers of all time, and they're not exactly people who love to throw up selfie videos, you know, that's not their personality. And so those are the people that are kind of marginalized a little bit by the system itself that has been created with social media. And like, there's so much noise on it now. Like, you can't blame people, because it's, you scroll down your feed, it's like, oh my gosh, I'm exhausted. And so it's hard to, and you know, the other thing too, like, if you're, especially if you, like, say you're in country music and you're doing something, like, I love to write stories. Yeah. And I think one of the biggest struggles I don't have some voice that's going to like jump out and Chris Stapleton you. You know what I mean? Like, I have a functional voice. It's I'm on pitch mostly, and I, you know, it's fine. It's not like some, you know, it's more about, to me, being unique, but I don't have a voice that is going to carry me. You know what I mean? For me, it's about the song and my delivery of the story, the message, whatever it is. And the problem you run into, I think, with the way the system works with social media, we've all been conditioned to give it about 3 seconds and then we just swipe. If it's not like super compelling, we're just going to swipe. And I think that's where you struggle too. If you're in a certain bracket, some people are blessed with that voice and they can just sing something and they're going to get, and that's awesome. I mean, there's some great singers that have come out, but there's a lot of like great singer songwriters that I know of that are trying, but they can't, it's harder for them to break through, because you've got to give it a minute and listen to what they're saying and like get the whole picture first before you can realize, wow, that's pretty cool, you know? Yeah. So that's a tough part. That's a challenge nowadays with the way that everything works, you know?
It's really hard. It's really hard. And I think that if you are not a songwriter mind in terms of the way you just listen to songs, or if you write them yourself, like, you don't get it. And that's a shame. But I do think that there is, enough people that have been against the social media machine recently that in my hopes in the next few years it kind of starts to shift. I don't know if it will. I'm just making that up, but I would hope that people would see it's not all 3 seconds and that's it. There's a lot more there and you just got to dig. So, but I agree with you. I'm totally with you. Hey, I got to ask you. In 2016, you put out the Raised by the Radio album. I love that album. There was a lot of really good songs
Thanks.
on it. But I
Nice.
have to ask because I never got this answer. At one point, I listened to the album all the time, and then at one point, it was just gone, just went away. I couldn't listen to it. I didn't know where it went. Can you tell us where did like why did it come down? Was it an accident or like was it just my Apple Music? Like
What?
it wasn't there.
You talking about
Not
Raised by the
recently.
Radio?
Yeah, not recently. This is years ago, years and years ago. But I remember it not being there, and I was like, why can't I listen to this? My mom, the same thing, because my mom likes this album. I told you my mom's a fan. So my mom likes this album too, and she couldn't listen to it either. I was like, where'd it go? It was just gone. It was gone. And then all of a sudden, one day it was back, and I was really excited about it.
I don't remember if maybe we I don't know, maybe we were like talking. I've been through so many things where like it something almost happened,
Yeah.
and you're kind of wanting to like start fresh
Sure.
or something, like with a, I don't know if it was a record deal opportunity, what it was. Maybe it was something like that for a
Yeah.
minute. I can't remember. I have taken a lot of older stuff down over the years because I don't know, I'm a
Definitely.
well, I mean, if it's, I want everything to be representative of like the standard that I believe,
Sure.
I want to like be remembered for. And so like some of, I think a lot of the problem with, there's so many good things about the state of technology and like the ability to just release music now. It's way better. It's way bigger blessing than the cons of it.
Right.
But one of the cons is it's so easy that like, for a kid coming out that don't know a dang thing about what he's doing, you're gonna have this opportunity to put out stuff that later on you go, I wasn't ready yet.
Right.
Like whereas like back in the day, nobody heard you until someone thought you were good enough to sign and put out there, right?
Exactly.
So like you had this refining process that happened. Nobody really got the first impression off of that. The first
Right.
impression came when you had already worked your way into being proficient and being like a good songwriter, a better singer, a better performer, all these things. So like that's the only downside about having that access is that you can put out stuff unknowingly at the time you're 25 years old, 20, whatever it is, and then later you go, man, I was not like that song's not written to my standard,
Right.
or it's not cut, this production's not to my standard or whatever, and I don't want somebody coming into my world stumbling into onto this song, hearing it and then going, oh, that sounds like
Yeah.
amateur hour. You know what I mean? Like, I want you to get the representation of me to the standard that, you know what I mean? That I want to set for myself. And so some people don't understand that. They get upset. Like, there's a lot of old songs that are like, man, would you please bring back this? Please bring back that. And of course, like, I don't take that lightly, but at the end of the day, I've got to be able to lay down at night and go, I'm proud of this body of work. And if I'm not proud of it, then I don't want it up there, So
Which
that's
I
just.
totally get. I totally understand. I think that's important, right? Like there's a massive difference between Sun and God, Girls and Football, right?
Sure.
And I love them both, but there's a massive difference. And just in terms of, the production value and your voice, the strength of your voice obviously is totally, it's a lot stronger now than it probably was then. And
Yeah, for sure.
so like, I don't know, like I get what you're saying. I totally understand. Now I do understand from a listening standpoint of like why something like, I don't know, I'm just looking at all the lists here, but like why something like All About Me could maybe be really special for someone, but maybe you're like, like I'm a lot stronger now and that's totally cool. But then from a listening standpoint, I get why they would be like, hey, can you bring this song back? I'm not saying that song is gone. You know what I mean though? Just like an older song.
That record, I think that record, and well, obviously music is so subjective. I mean, I think that record song wise is pretty strong. I mean,
I think it's phenomenal.
there's no songs on there that I'm like, oh man, that wasn't written well. I think the thing I struggle with that record. So like when I first started singing, if you listen to like old videos of mine, when I first started, I sound like me. Like I don't have a real deep voice, but I don't have like a real high voice either, in terms of just like I have a bit of a kind of an in-between kind of thing, you know what I mean? And so I went through a phase for a few years where I have one of my best buddies, the way we got to know each other, he reached out to me and said, hey, look, I know a lot about the voice and I'd love to help you learn to use yours because you could open up a whole new world. And so for years I was working on lightening my voice because I sang too heavy.
Yeah.
And what I didn't understand was I could still sound like me, but sing more connected. And right. so for a few years there, a lot of those songs, I sound like there's no presence. Like I right. sound like Vince Gill, you know, and that's not a bad thing, but it's not me. It's not right. what I sound like. You know what right. I mean? So like, it's really light and really like, doesn't even sound like me now, you know, wow. because I was trying to work on that. I was trying yeah. to be a better singer. And so it took me a while to learn to still sing with my real tone, but then cool. do it in a way that's healthy for my voice.
Yeah.
So that's where a lot of those older songs, I would pull them down, recut the vocals, because I'm going, this doesn't even sound like me. You yeah. know what I mean? If you talk to me on the street, you're going to go, dang, that dude like doesn't even sound like what he yeah, sings right. like, you know? So that was a lot of those songs. And there's still a few on that record where I'm like, they're kind of in between. I was starting to yeah. get better about singing and sounding like me, but I wasn't quite there yet, you know? Yeah. So there's things like that that I've done, you know, pulled down, and I may re-release yeah. some of the older stuff too.
Well, that's really cool about the voice. I didn't even realize that, to be honest with you. I mean, I think that's really awesome. I think people forget the voice is, it's a muscle, right? Like you can,
yeah.
which is funny because it is a muscle, and it sometimes makes me think that there is a life down the road where I can actually sing for I can't. But everyone always says, oh, you can if you work hard enough. No, listen, I know I can. It is what it is. As the one, I always say this though, I would change. There is so much that I would keep the same in life. The only thing I would change is I wish I had a solid voice. I don't want to like make music or like, I just want to like break it out as a party trick and just have like an okay.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Sure. Sure.
That is the one thing I would change. There's a lot about life that I wouldn't change. I would change that. That is
sure. For sure.
But
I get it.
It's funny. It's pretty funny. So let's talk about this, right? So you and I'm not gonna lie, I was surprised when I saw this, but you went on America's Got Talent. And I was a little surprised only because I've been listening to you for so long. I just kind of figured like that wasn't a path for you, but it was really cool to see everyone like gather around, right? And really love you and really love on your voice and your songs and obviously the judges as well. So it was cool as a person who's, you know, also just a fan to see that there are other people out there that may not have known you before, but now love you now for things like Sun and songs like that. So what was that experience like? And how, I mean, I know you used the word surreal, and I'm sure it was surreal to see Sun climb like that right on the charts, but what was that whole thing like for you?
Yeah, it was cool, man. You know, and that's hearing you say that, I actually agree with you. You know, I've mentioned this a couple times. I have been asked to do that, you know, those kind of shows, The Voice, American Idol, all of them at some point or another, almost every year for the last, say, probably 8-10 years,
wow.
I've been asked to come audition for those yeah. shows. And I've always just said no. And it wasn't because I thought I was better than the whatever. It was more just like, again, if I was a great singer and that was more my thing, like yeah. if I was just like this, had this really unbelievable, unique voice that was super, you know, incredible, I feel like it's a better fit on those shows, you know. But like, I always looked at it like, you know, number one, early on, I felt like I hadn't paid my dues enough yet. I was like, I don't want to skip the line here. It's just, it doesn't feel right. Mm-hmm. And then as I got even more down the road and had paid a lot of my dues, I still was like, it just doesn't seem like the right fit for me. You know, it was like, it felt a little too focused on just like the singer, and maybe a little too, it can be a little cheesy sometimes, you know, and all that. So it just didn't feel right. Well, they reached out, you know, early last year. And my initial thought was the same as it always was, you know, just, you know, I'm flattered they would ask me, you know, you're always flattered and humbled by somebody, you know, seeing your ability, and wanting you to be a part of something on TV. I mean, shoot, that's pretty cool, you know, yeah. but I just thought, it's just not for me, you know? And so I told my manager, and he was like, well, you know, give it some thought, you know, you just released Sun, and if nothing else, that song needs to be heard, you know? And I was like, you know what, man, I think you're right. I think this isn't even about me. It's about that song. And that's really what I went into it with. I didn't even think past that song. I didn't even think to the live shows. I wasn't even there. Like I had no idea what I would do song wise because I never planned ahead. I was just like, I want the world to hear Sun because I believe it's really special and I believe it could help some people, you know?
Yeah.
And so I went on there with that mindset and played it. And man, it was just really special. Like, the response was incredible. The stories I got to hear from people, were mind-boggling. Like, you know, one of the biggest dreams I had for that song was that it would help reunite some families, you know, like some dads who hadn't talked to their sons in 2 years, and moms who hadn't talked to their sons or daughter, or whatever the combination was, had a falling out. And when I hear those stories, it breaks my heart, because as someone who knows how precious and short life can be, you know, you don't want to waste that time. Like, figure out a way around it if you can, you know, get the egos behind you and figure out a way around it, you know. And so I got all these messages talking about Mitch, you know, I'm bawling my eyes out. I just texted my dad for the first time in 2 years, and we're gonna have lunch on Wednesday. Whatever, you know, like all these people reaching out saying these things, and I'm going, holy crap, this was so worth it. Like, if nothing else happens, this was so worth it. And then, you know, got a lot of new fans and a lot of people that have come on board and become big supporters because of it. So it was a blessing for sure. And it was a cool experience. Everyone was super nice. The judges were great. Yeah, it was fun.
That's awesome to hear. I was really glad when you made the Instagram post. I don't think I actually like went to see the video until like a couple days later for whatever reason. I was like, oh man, like I hope he's saying something original, because I didn't like I don't even know if I read the caption to see like what song you're singing. I was just scrolling through and it said like, oh, I want to be on America's Got Talent. I was like, what the heck, right? So then later on I go and I look and I'm like, man, I'm so glad he sang an original. Like, I'm so glad he didn't get up there and sing a cover of whatever. Not that that would have been a problem. I just think that, like, and I'm glad that you've said this, that you wanted something to mean something to someone else. So by playing an original, that's exactly what you got. And that's amazing. I think you went on it and you crushed it. You did it for all the right reasons. And I think that's great. So I'm glad people are listening to Sun and they love it. And hopefully that also means they're diving in and listening to the other stuff as well, and doing all that good stuff. Seems like a good experience. I'm glad it was. That's awesome, man. That's so cool. Cool.
I wouldn't have done it if I couldn't do originals, for sure. Yeah, that was a selling point for me.
Is there like do you have to ask to do an original, or is it like do they have to like approve it, or like how does that, or can you just do it?
They're actually pretty supportive of the
Oh,
artists. I
cool.
mean, I'm sure if it's something that was like controversial or like, you know, obscene or whatever, they would probably say, yeah, you can't do that on the show. But I mean, for me, they always gave me the choice. But they did say, like, for the audition, they all were in agreement Sun was the song.
Nice.
Because I think it's just, I don't know, I don't say this arrogantly, because I believe that for songs like that, you just hold the pen more than anything. But how could, I don't know how anyone that's not just being an ass, because some people are just like that, they're miserable and they just want to be an ass. But anybody, no matter what genre you're a fan of, if you have a heart in your chest and you hear that song, how you couldn't say that that's a powerful song?
Right.
So I think it's kind of one of those that's just speaks for itself. You know, there's a lot of songs that are, you know, of course, subjective and all that. And of course, it's still subjective to some degree. But how you could listen to that and not say it's written well, and not say that it's impactful, I think you'd just be trying to be a jerk if you said something like that, you
I
know.
totally agree. And you know what? I'll say this, and I'll say this with you not sitting here, and I'll say this to a random person, that there's a reason why I fell in love with country music, and there's a reason why a lot of people love country music, and it's because of songs like that. People will listen to that song. 15-year-olds will listen to that song and say, I want to do music. Why? Because of songs like that. Because it is written well. It's written incredibly well. And it is, that's why country music is so great, is songs like that. So
Thanks, man.
listen, I it's great. And I love that everyone else is resonating with it too. And it's making people feel a certain way. And I think that that's amazing. So yeah.
Thanks.
Awesome. Really is. How's your golf game going recently? I know you're a good golfer. I know your son's a better golfer than you are, but listen, how is it going? Is it all right?
It's decent. I'm very my handicap has come back down. I was at a plus four at one point. Probably 3.5, 4 years ago.
Okay.
But man, three kids, like, it's just impossible. Like, I haven't practiced in like a year and a half. I'll play, but like, I built a simulator up here in my kind of main
That's so
area.
cool.
Yeah, I used to hit balls all the time, and I was pretty strong. And then my oldest son, every time the freaking thing, even every time I have a chance, he's up here hitting. So
Sure.
it's like, and I would rather help him. So it's like,
That's
yeah,
cool.
he started. I thought he would be a little older before he started beating me, but he's already shot under par on
That's
18
pretty
holes at a
cool.
championship golf course. And So yeah, we'll go back and forth. I usually shoot it, you know, if I shoot anything above 77 or so, it's been a pretty bad day, but I'm not as commonly shooting high 60s anymore like I was
Sure.
a
You're a
few
lot
years
better than
ago.
me, though, even at 77.
Well,
Much. I'll tell. Listen, I've been playing. I started playing golf when I was, I don't know. I think I got my first set of clubs when I went to my confirmation when I was, what, 14, 15, whatever it is. And like I've been playing ever since, but I've never like had a formal lesson or anything. I'm terrible. Like I really just go because my buddies like to play and they're a lot
yeah.
better. And we throw some beers in the cart and we play golf and that's it. And I'm really, really bad. And this summer we've recently in my area have gotten a bunch of those simulators. And so when it would rain, we'd go play the simulator. And I played for the first time. I'm not kidding. Like I'm bad. I recognize that, but I have never played worse in my life than when I played the simulator. I couldn't read anything. I was, you know, hitting balls on the path. It was so bad. Like so bad where I don't even want to tell you the score how bad it was. And it was miserable. And after like I think 14 or 15 holes, I was like, guys, why am I still playing? Like, what do we like? I'm not even, this doesn't even make it like I am so bad. This is pitiful. Like I'm done. So I literally just like sat down. I was like, I'm done. It's ridiculous. It is the most stressful, supposed to be stress-free sport ever. It's insane. So it's,
It gets my blood pressure up for sure.
and
It's
you're a
one of the,
competitive guy, I can tell.
oh yeah, I'm competitive, and the problem with me is like I've reached a level of ability in the game, and
Sure.
like golf is not like other sports where you could, like, if I just go show up and play basketball, like I could probably get hot, you know,
Yeah.
and play well. I still can handle the ball well and all that. I can still, if we go play football, I'm gonna tear it up. Like
Yeah.
I don't know, it might sound arrogant, but I'll get after it.
Go ahead.
But golf is like, it just doesn't matter. Like it doesn't care about your feelings, and there's no amount of ability you think you have or talent
Yeah.
without a ton of practice that's going to get you. Now, you might have a great day after not playing for 2 months, and you also might look like a complete clown. So it's
That
like,
too. You might have a great day, then play a week later, and then look like a clown. Either way, it might not end well. So I'm with you. It's a listen. It's fun every once in a while, but sometimes I'm like, man, I can't do it. I love it, Mitch. What is what's in store for 2024 for you?
man. I actually just started a Patreon page. I don't know if you've
Nice.
seen it or not, but
Yeah.
I'm pretty excited about it because it's kind of my, you know, middle finger, so to speak, to social
Yeah.
media. And it really, social media has become so frustrating because, you know, you spend all these years building a fan base, and now again, the algorithms are changing to where they're not even gearing stuff towards that fan base
Right.
anymore. They're gearing it towards discovery, which is new people. And again, the whole thing we talked about with trying to create viral content, it's like, why did I put so much energy and time into this content? And all these, I have 170 something thousand people on my Facebook, and my engagement went like overnight. It went from like getting, you know, thousands of likes on you know, most posts I would make to getting a couple hundred overnight.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm not reaching anybody anymore. So it's like, what am I doing? I'm just like going down a black hole of their, they don't care about me. They don't care about what I'm creating, you know? So it's like, I just wanted to do something that was more meaningful for me and for the fans. And I wanted to do something that, you know, if you want to hear what I'm doing, there's no, Patreon's not going to filter anything.
Right.
You're going to get a notification.
Right.
You're going to get an email that says, "Hey, Mitch posted a new thing. If you want to watch it, you can." You're not going to, like, I mean, shoot, man. There's people that I follow that are artist buddies that I support. Like, I'll like all their stuff because I know how the algorithm works. And when you like their stuff, it helps them. And so I'll like their stuff and comment sometimes, whatever, just trying to support my buddies. Dude, I've got a, you know, several people that all of a sudden I won't see their post for a while, and it'll hit me one day. I'll go, "Man, I wonder what so and so's doing. I guess they've just been kind of quiet over there." And I'll go to their page, and they've been posting the whole time.
You just don't see it.
And I don't, and I'm like, these are people I'm engaging with, and it chose not to show it to me. And so I can't imagine how many people of mine are engaging with my stuff, and all of a sudden, I'm just not in their world anymore. And they might remember in 6 months and go, "Man, you know, I wonder what Mitch is doing." Or they might not. They might just, you know, they might have been kind of on the fence fan, you know, like, "Hey, I like this guy, but I haven't heard enough yet," whatever. And so I'm like, why do I keep building something for somebody else to just manipulate me, and I'm like a little puppet on strings where it's like,
Yeah.
oh, well, we want to change the algorithm today, or we want to do this, and now you got to chase after this. And it's like, no, I'm gonna do something that the people who run it care about creators, and they care about fans, and they care about cultivating a good experience. And then, you know, if you want to have, like, for the full subscription on this thing, I'm doing something that I don't know if it has ever been done, which is basically I'm just playing all these unreleased original songs. Every week I play a new unreleased original, and we're going to decide together which ones get cut.
Yeah.
I'm going to take them into the studio. I'm going to show them, like, how the song's coming together live in person. Like, you know, the band's going to hear it. They're going to go in. They're going to hear how awesome the bands are right away. Then we're going to vote on artwork. We're going to figure out the name of the record. All that stuff. Like, it's going to be an immersive, like,
that's cool,
fan driven experience.
You make me want to join. I think I might. That's pretty cool.
I mean, it's gonna be cool, man. I've already got a lot of people signed up, and I haven't even been able to reach, you know, even a even 1% of my fans yet. So I'm trying to post regularly, and just I'm gonna post snippets of these unreleased originals to where hopefully it'll drive more people over. Because whether you join for free or the paid, the free, you still get a verse and chorus of all those unreleased originals.
Cool. Really
cool. So it's like, you know, you're not going to get that on social media.
So there's a free option too.
There's a free option. There's a $15 option.
Yeah.
So the free option, you get, it's definitely limited. It's, you get a verse and chorus of the songs. You get some of the posts.
Yeah.
The paid, you get to vote on everything. You get to decide, like, what's on the record. You get to, you get discounts on merch. You get an exclusive private link to, a merch logo I've never released. It's only for my Patreon subscribers. It's a really cool, it's called Mitch Mob. It's a cool logo.
That's cool.
And then you just get all this stuff that, you know, you get assigned 8x10, you get, you know, whatever, all this stuff. So it's, you know, there's one for everybody though. If you don't have the money, or you're not as, you know, diehard about following along, you can do the free, and at least you'll get to hear, you know, some originals that haven't been out or never
that's
been
awesome.
Played.
$15, so. You got me. I'm in. That's it. I'll do it. $15, I'm out. That's a tank of gas. I'm good with that. Why not?
Thanks, dude.
I love it. That's so awesome. Dude, I'm so excited to see what's come down the pipe for you. And just to, you know, keep following along with your career and all the good stuff. I gotta ask you one last thing, and then taking up a lot of your time here. But one last thing I gotta ask you, are you going to, so one of my favorite, and I know this, and I only say this because this, I know this is one of yours too, but one of my favorite artists of all time, but also songs. So I love Dan Seals, and I love Everything That Glitters. I love Dan Seals. I went out and I found a record store in Colorado and bought every single Dan Seals record that they had. They only had three or four, but they had it, the one with Everything That Glitters. Then they had, I'm blanking on the names, but I have three more, and I burn them out. I love Dan Seals. Are you going to release a cover of Everything That Glitters or no?
I am.
Come on. Why not? I love it.
I am.
That's great.
Yeah. I was waiting until after Christmas, but it'll be probably January.
Wow. This is going to be great. I'm ready.
Yeah.
I'm ready. Well,
yeah.
If you're listening right now, I mean, this is going to come out after Christmas, but that's amazing. That's so amazing.
Thanks,
I love that song. I love
Me too, man. Me too. It's probably my favorite song of all time. So.
I think Dan Seals is an incredibly underrated artist. I think people forgot about him. So
I agree. I think him and Don Williams. Mm-hmm. Don Williams is in my top five. If you haven't listened to a lot of his stuff, you should go listen. I mean,
amazing.
Unbelievable songs, unbelievable voice. Just one of my favorite. Production's amazing. You know, Alan Reynolds produced him, actually. He produced all the Garth stuff. Just really good. So
that's awesome. I love it. It's great to hear. Mitch, dude, thank you so much for coming to hang out with me. Thank you for taking the time. I appreciate it. Obviously, I'm a huge fan. I'm going to continue to be a huge fan. This meant a lot to me, even if, you know, no one on the other. I don't think people realize how important this was to me and how much this meant. So I really appreciate it. I can't wait to see what 2024 has to bring for you. So thank you so much.
Oh, it was an honor, man. I really enjoyed talking to you. So thanks for your time, and thanks for having me on. And hopefully we can do it again down the road.
Anytime. I'll see you at the Opry. How about that? Anytime.
Sounds good, man. Sounds good.
Everybody, you can go follow Mitch on Instagram at Mitch_Rozell. That's two S's and two L's on Instagram. And you can stay up to date with, you know, covers and show announcements and demos and posts and all that good stuff. And you can go follow and subscribe to his Patreon and do all that good stuff there. And there's a lot of really cool content coming out of there. I'm going to subscribe, so you should too. And you can go listen to all his music wherever you stream. Sun, great song. Everything else, incredible as well. I can go down a rabbit hole for the next hour and a half about how much music and stuff that I really love from Mitch. But to save you from bleeding from your ears to hear me talk, I'll let you go yourself. But thanks for tuning in. Thanks for tuning into the Remember Country Music Podcast. Remember to rate, subscribe, give us 5 stars if you love the episode, and follow us on Instagram at @RCM_podcast. New episodes come out every Friday, 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Central, wherever you listen to pods, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio. It's there. Share it with your friends and share it with your family and do all that good stuff. And, you know, help the social media algorithm. But thanks for tuning in. I'm Kyle Corbus. That's Mitch Rizzo. This was cool. I'll see you next week. Peace out.